You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so we got a Memorial Day tradition. The Indianapolis 500, and then, of course, the Coca-Cola 600. One of the bigger races on the NASCAR schedule. It's certainly the longest, and for years and years has been one of the more important races on the calendar. Not Daytona 500, but still on a very, very high level. Jeff Hammett from Fox Sports joining us to preview that race and the season so far in NASCAR. How are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us again.
Tony, it's a privilege to be on your show, and really looking forward to talking about what's been going on so far during this season of 2022 and the new car and everything that's been happening around the track.
All right, so let's talk about this season, because 11 different drivers have won this season. Only two have won twice, William Byron and Ross Chastain. That's parity. Is that good so far? I mean, do we like it when we have a Kyle Larson winning a lot of races, or a Jeff Gordon from the 90s winning a lot of races? Or has this sort of been rather interesting to see different drivers winning?
Well, we've been talking about the young talent coming along and challenging the veterans. And I think this year we're seeing that start to happen. William Byron, Ross Chastain, young, hard-charging kids that have struggled in recent years, have now found their way into victory lane, multiple times, and they're up there competing each and every week. I think that it's exciting. I think the fans are starting to connect with some of these younger talents and recognizing that, NASCAR has got a new look to it, which has been really great for TV as well as for the grandstands. I mean, Charlotte Motor Speedway announced last night that, they're a sellout. And so that's huge. I mean, that's like be over 100,000 people this weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Coca-Cola 600. So I think a lot of things are contributing, including the new car. But this new talent, I think, is starting to turn heads.
Let's talk about the next-gen car. In layman's terms, what makes it different? What makes it part of what this season has delivered so far?
Tony, the easiest way to say everything. It's a total, redirection as far as NASCAR is concerned. It is not the old, and this is serious when I say this, it's not our 1950 technology with a truck rear end housing and the way the front end is designed on it. It has independent suspension, just like some of these hot rods are running up down the street in nowadays. Rack and pinion steering, sequential transmission. The aero underneath the car works to help make the car stick to the racetrack better. A new wheel, a wider and taller tire. I mean, all these things are revolutionary when it comes to what NASCAR has used, the way they used to look. I mean, we've got a new face on what we consider our Cup Series this year, and everybody is having to adjust, and the learning curve has been, steep. And the drivers, the 11 different new drivers, I think it kind of proves that not everybody's got it figured out. I mean, some of the veterans like, Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson, they haven't been able to work their magic like they have in the past. And, some of these younger kids have figured it out quicker, or they've gotten lucky, however you want to look at it. But in the long run, we've got a totally different animal that each and every week, and this weekend is no different. You mentioned longest race of the year. This is the ultimate test, and I think the final test, on this new car to see how it handles everything.
Let's talk about the Coca-Cola 600, because it used to be sort of a showcase of the engineers, right? Like the engines and the design of the car, and can the car hold up through 600 miles? As technology has gotten better, that's sort of gone a little bit by the wayside. So how do you see a 600-mile race today with a car like the next-gen car?
A little bit more like a throwback race, to which your point is. There are some areas that are still in question to see how they handle it, and I'm talking about the new car itself. I think the engines are pretty much bulletproof unless guys, get crazy with, little late, tuning or something as far as the 600 is concerned, and or the transition from day to night if something doesn't quite jive right there. I think more importantly is to see how the teams are able to keep up with the new design of the chassis and the aero balances that are really going to be the biggest, I think, threat this weekend. We saw at Texas racetrack's a little bumpy. You got this car on the edge. It would get away from a lot of these drivers. And we saw crashes, some pretty hard crashes, might add also. I think the same thing could happen this weekend because of fatigue and having to wrestle this race car. This is not an easy race car to drive. You have to work at it, and these drivers are really being challenged because it's so sensitive. And, you know, you make little air pressure adjustments, and the car responds in a different manner. Weather, heat, all this stuff right here will come into play this weekend. I think that it's going to be a different look, but it's really going to be man versus machine versus the elements.
What is more concerning for a driver in the Coca-Cola 600? Is it the physicality of the race in terms of what you were talking about, wrestling the car, keeping the car, or is it the mental part, staying focused for a long, long time on the racetrack?
I believe it's going to be the mental part, because if you just get relaxed at the wrong time, or if you miss your mark just a little bit, this car, you know, can jump out from under you in a heartbeat, and it'll bite you. And next thing you know, you'll be, you know, swapping ends and up in either end of the wall, or somebody will be into you. I think the mental part's going to be the toughest. When you go back, I think the shortest race we've ever had at Charlotte was 3 hours and 58 minutes, which is unheard of. The average race time is 4 hours and 30 minutes. So you've got to get behind it. You think about going and getting in your car and driving 4 hours and 30 minutes and focusing every 100 feet that you're going down that road to make sure you don't make a mistake. I mean, that's about what it's like. You're going to be sitting behind that wheel. You've got to be watching the competition around you. You've got to be watching the track to know where you are on the racetrack. You got to make pit stops. There are going to be, I think, a lot of mistakes made on pit road. I think pit road is going to be the defining moment. We got to make more pit stops than ever before. We have to have 13 sets of tires that they can go through. And I look for them to use them up. And then all these open that mental, conditioning. Who is prepared? Who is going to be rested? Who's going to be able to do this and not make a mistake along the way?
I do want to ask you about the All-Star race. I thought it was very interesting. Twitter's not always the best place to go to get the answers, but I saw Twitter. I watched the race, and then I saw Twitter just blow up with people going, what is NASCAR doing with this late caution? Why isn't Ryan Blaney the winner? You've been around the sport a long time. You've seen situations like this where there is a last lap situation. A flag has to come out. But was it the right call at the right time, as Blaney was right just about to cross the line before the yellow came out?
Okay, first and foremost, make sure everybody understands, for the All-Star race, the final lap has to be completed under green. Under any other race conditions, it's like here if we went to Coca-Cola 600 and that same scenario was happening, and here comes Blaney and he's coming to the start-finish line, and the caution comes out, he would automatically be the winner because they freeze the field.
Got it. Okay.
But on Sunday night, he was coming to the start-finish line. They did throw the caution. And I've got to give NASCAR credit. They have owned this mistake. They were premature. It was not necessary to throw the caution. There was a situation that could have been the reason, but it was just a quick reflex that the guy calling the race, as far as controlling the caution flag situation, he did it, and then once he did it, they couldn't take it back. And I said they got to do a better job of working on that and, you know, having a situation like that and determining, is it necessary, especially that close to the end of the race? That's something they wouldn't, you know, have any kind of reservations about during a regular procedure during the course of the race. But in that case, like you pointed out, man's like 100 foot from the start-finish line. There was no reason. The racetrack wasn't blocked. It wasn't like it had, you know, 10 cars sitting there on the back straightaway. But they owned it. NASCAR has come out and said, we blew that one, and we've got to do a better job.
That's interesting. What a tough position to be in, because there are obvious times, like you said, where there's like a 10-car pileup. You got to throw the caution. It's dangerous out there. But then there are other times where it's on the edge, and you've got to make a call of whether or not you should enact a safety measure in an auto race. That's got to be a really kind of precarious situation at times.
It's a huge responsibility. It really is. And that individual has to recognize very quickly, what do we have here? Multiple cars, single car? Is the car still moving? Where is it at in proximity to the leader and the lead cars? How much traffic's coming by them? Is the car stopped? All of these things, you've got to look at it, you got to recognize the situation, and you got to react to it. And so just try to understand, yes, they made a mistake. They called it, you know, probably prematurely, but at the same time, it's in the interest of safety. Now, the good thing about it is that was a wrong. And in the end, it took him two times, but the right guy won the race.
Right, I agree completely. Yeah. Could they have allowed Ryan Blaney an opportunity to go into the pits and get that window net up instead of doing it himself? Could they have said, look, it's the all-star race. We can kind of make it up as we go along here. Go in, get your window net on. We understand why you took it down. Get it on. Get back on the track.
This again, is an unusual situation. And they could have. They really could have, because it is an all-star race. Everybody understands the circumstances. I don't think anybody begrudges Ryan Blaney for him reacting like he did. I think one of the other things that came out of this, in my opinion, is NASCAR needs to overemphasize back to the drivers and the crew chiefs that drivers, even though you're excited, you've got to keep your safety equipment intact until you're safely, we're down, you know, the racetrack is under control and you're down to a safe speed and we know the race is completed. You can't allow your emotions to possibly put you in harm's way. And I think that's one of the things that they need to go back and reemphasize. Like starting this weekend, stay buckled up, leave your winning net up, leave everything alone until we get the race under control. And that means the whole field is slowed down and this race is concluded completely before you start doing stuff like that.
Jeff Hammond, Fox Sports, Coca-Cola 600 coming up on Sunday. All right, one final question. I remember a time where there was sort of this crown jewel of racing. There was different races, Southern 500, Daytona 500, Coca-Cola 600. But now there's all sorts of different ways. There's the new dirt race, and there's all sorts of different racing. And now there's a playoff, of course. Coca-Cola 600, does it still carry that same level of prestige?
Yes, sir. It always will, and it will never change. I mean, you know, just because we get better at something, just because we add some more bells and whistles, it's still what it is. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like running the Kentucky Derby. Churchill Downs will always be the premier horse race in horse racing. And to me, the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway will always be a defining moment, especially on Memorial Day weekend when they go hand-in-hand with the Indianapolis 500. Those two races are iconic and legendary. And I don't think you will ever see them be challenged for their right in the season and their value to their particular series.
Yeah, and it was the first win for Jeff Gordon in his illustrious career back in 94. So,
and it kicked. This race actually has a lot of first-time winners, and Jeff Gordon is probably the most defining moment in his career and what turned out to be an unbelievable one for him.
We love having you on, Jeff. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Good luck with watching and calling the race this weekend. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
You got it. Jeff Hammond, Fox Sports. Again, Coca-Cola 600 coming up this weekend. One of the best races that you get on the calendar. It's a good tradition. And again, I know some of you are not motorsports fans, but if you are, you know what the Sunday of Memorial Day is. Indy 500, and of course, the NASCAR race down in Charlotte, the 600-miler. All right, we'll come back as we get ready to wrap up Hour 2 and head into Hour 3 on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.